It's Thursday the 5th of October and you're listening to the Red Army Rounder. I'm your host Paul Hinton and unfortunately tonight I'm only joined by Sean Phillips. That's not unfortunate that you're here, Sean, but that Aaron can't join us. Good evening.
Yeah. You can't get a killer.
Yeah, so Aaron, who was able to survive hurricanes in Florida, cannot function with internet in whatever tiny little place he lives in. He's cranked the handle, he's put coals on the fire, nothing has sparked it into life, so Aaron isn't going to be joining us, unfortunately, which means you get to listen to us two prattle on about the Devils' win over Braehead and that little win we had in the midweek game. Can't remember much about it, so we'll come on to that. Have a little look at Ramite's burning questions and preview the coming week's worth of games. So let's get cracking with the first game. And Sean, and Devils in league action again after the 4-0 win against Dundee midweek, and welcomed another Scottish team, Braehead, to Cardiff. We discussed last week that Braehead were disappointing in the pre-season game, but put that down to them being quite short on imports. They're still not full benched, but for me, they were probably just as disappointing, if not more so, on Saturday.
Oh yeah, I completely agree with you. I couldn't agree more. I genuinely don't think we've seen a Braehead side that bad in a long, long time. They just didn't seem to have any appetite to go out and win the game. And were we good on Saturday? Yeah, we played pretty well, but were Braehead bad? Oh, goodness me, yeah, they were diabolical. I felt so bad for the fans. There were a few of them who travelled down to watch that, and just yeah, there's just something going wrong in Braehead. There's no will to win. You know, you looked at a Ryan Finnerty team of the last what was he there 4 years, I think it was four years, and even like last year, although they weren't a great side, like the two home games against Braehead last year were fantastic. And there was a spark to them. There was a little bit of intensity. The club have referred to it as the double espresso rivalry.
Which
was right, because under Ryan Finnerty, it literally was that the clubs just hated each other. And that wasn't the Braehead clan team that we're used to seeing. But it's a completely new team under a completely new coach, and they just don't seem to have any drive to go on and the will to win.
No, and it's difficult to see, looking at them, what the identity is. You know, you mentioned Finnerty hockey. They didn't look to be set up like that, but equally, they don't look like they're a fast skill team that's going out there to tear teams apart with speed. I don't know what the aim of the players that they made a massive thing all summer that they weren't going to rush into signings, and you know, as you said, ended up massively short through pre-season, which isn't good. But you think if you're going to take that long to sign players, that you would
sign good ones.
You're going to get good players in, and it's going to have the right player for the way you want your team to be set up. But yeah. I couldn't give it a single point as to what I think that team's overall goal is. How they're looking to play this year. It was
Did anyone stand out in the game? You look at it and you look at last year's team, and they've just lost such a big core. They obviously lost their captain Matt Keith to retirement. They lost Becker to Manchester. They lost Scott Pitt, who recently today was announced today for former coach Ryan Finnerty, and they just lost such a big core of that team from last year. And I just can't see, like you said, they just don't seem to have an identity, because you always knew when you were playing a Ryan Finnerty team when they came down, and they're not built, they're not built to rough you up. They're a big ice team as well, so it's so hard to see what the Braehead clan are setting out to achieve this year. I've got to be honest with you, and it's a shame to see, because the games the last 3 years have been probably some of our best games as well, because there's only been four of them, two home and two away. So, they've been some of the more memorable games, and this year they've just been dreadful, absolutely just horrible to watch.
They have, and it started bad, you know, started really badly for Brayhead. Took just 3 minutes for Josh Batch to get on the score sheet, firing home through Nye's five hole off a bit of a rebound. And so from there, the game sort of stepped up a little bit. You know, the Devil started throwing some big hits. Andrew Lord had a couple of shifts where he floored a couple of people. Justin Farina was being his usual self. And Jacob Doty wasn't a massive fan of it, but didn't seem particularly capable of actually throwing a check that was going to land anywhere. And spent quite a while sort of trying to get into Josh Batch's skin. Andrew Lord threw a massive hit on, I think it was Zach Sullivan, and floored him. And then Doty, as the puck went into our zone, the puck went to Fournier and he just completely ignored it, went straight for Mark Lewis. And a fight ensued, and a good fight, Sean. You know, it was one of the more entertaining ones with a bit of a weird ending where sort of it looked as if Doty tried to put Lewis in a headlock, and at the same time it looked as if Lewis grabbed his legs and tipped him over. It was all quite bizarre.
Yeah, there was a couple of good bombs thrown, but a pretty reasonable tilt. But as you said, I don't think there was the end of it wasn't anything worth shouting about. And but yeah, a good tilt, a bit of spark to it. Doty looked like, you know, he wasn't. I think that's the only reason that Brayhead showed any sign of a fight was that they, you know, we did throw the body around, and Doty took exception to it and wanted to sort of, you know, stand up and show his team that that wasn't what they were here to do. They were here to come and win a game. And but that was literally it. I didn't see that, you know, Doty didn't see a thing from him then again the rest of the night. They just looked defeated from the end of period one.
Yeah, and you know, things had got worse before the end of the period with Sean Bentivoglio doubling the lead to give us a 2-0 lead at the end of the first. And it felt comfortable. It would have taken hell of a comeback from there to for Brea to get anything at all out of the game. And you know, it didn't happen. And then probably the pick of the goals halfway through the second period, Devils killed a penalty. Drew Parris comes out of the bin and skates deep in behind the net. A bit of work to win the puck. And puts a perfect pass out for Mark Richardson, who's come tearing up the ice to one time it past Ryan Nye. And you know, a really nice goal, and you know, it's always good to see Richie get on the score sheet, Sean.
Yeah, and then he went and did it again as well, just in the next period. So good to see Mark Richardson get a goal. Like you said, his offensive upside the last year has been insane, and he gets two goals in a game. And like great work from Paris straight out of the box. Cool, calm and composed, sees Richardson coming up the ice and perfect one-timer, D to D. You know, not often you see two defensemen that high up the ice and combining to score a goal.
Definitely. And a beautiful one at that. And that is for the game as a competition, that really was it then. Just after that, Adam Brace took two for tripping, and you know, there were no penalties after that. Showed, you know, very little fight, and then in the third period, goals from Mark Richardson and Justin Farina in the first 6 minutes just sort of turned it from a heavy defeat into a drubbing on the scoreboard, as well as, you know, in the way the game played out. And I really am struggling to remember anything of the third period after those two goals. I don't think there was much of note at all, Sean.
No, nothing at all. I think I'd pretty much not lost interest, but I was bored by the game by the end of the second, and it's just such a shame to see a Brayhead game like that, because as I said, they've been some of the spectacles the last couple of years, so yeah, real shame.
Yes, the game finished 5-0, Ben Bounds getting his second shutout in a row, 23 shot shutout on the night. I think a couple of those 23 shots, I can't imagine there were many, you know, high-end shots in amongst them, but you know, you can only save what's there, and you have two games on the bounce, you save them all. No game on Sunday night, and we then welcomed the Swedish League champions from last year, Växjö Lakers, to the rink for our fifth CHL game and the last one at home of the season. And we spent pretty much the whole time before the game, Sean, guessing how many we were going to lose by.
Yeah, well, I think you look at the Davos road game, and our expectations were pretty much the same. We were going to be happy to keep it at single figures and to score a goal. And And Paul, you and I just said that the same thing happened when we played against Davos at home as well. You know, we were sort of chatting before the game, and whenever you and I aren't looking forward to a game, it seems to go remarkably well. So we're just not going to look forward to hockey anymore. Just plain and simple.
Just be miserable at all times. Chung has moved himself into a wind tunnel. He's so excited for what's coming on in this discussion of the Vexwar game. Hopefully that'll pass. We're quite wrong, obviously.
Just a bit.
But an unbelievable performance from the Devils. We seems quite set up almost the same as we do in the Davos game. Four-man trap with just one guy high, just defending that blue line, spoiling everything that Vexwar tried to get when they tried to get into our zone, and worked effectively, but we were so quick on the breakout and really took advantage of our opportunities as and when they were presented to us. First off with Jake Morissette on a power play in the first period.
Yeah, it just started off so well for us. You look at how we set up, and you mentioned that trap, and it was so effective. But then going forward offensively, we just looked to create so much, and the counter on that. All round, just an absolutely unreal game plan from Coach Andrew Lord, and executed brilliantly by every single player on the ice. Perfect trap, keep the puck. You know, the Swedish teams are good when they have the puck. They love to have the puck. They love to drive forward, attack the goal, and be creative and showcase their speed. And we just didn't let them do it. We just didn't give them the space or the time to do it. Trap perfectly, puck in the zone, and then just break out unbelievably. And I cannot say enough good things about how we played in that game. The first goal scorer coming from your captain as well was obviously a great start. And I think by then I was sort of toying with the fact, even at one goal, you're still sort of sat there going, okay, great. You know, we've got the lead, great stuff, but didn't expect it quite to go much further than that, to be quite honest with you.
Well, we've led all of our games at the end of the first period, I think, so far, other than the first one in Davos, which was a bit of a drubbing. And it wasn't thinking much further on than we've scored a goal, we've taken the lead against the Swedish League champions. More than happy with that.
Just a quick one on the goal, though, that the assist from Andrew Hawthorne was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, great goal. And for the second game in a row, the power play line of Morissette, Bentifoglio and Myers getting on the score sheet. So, there's a new line that seems to have found some chemistry quite quickly. So, look to see that one going forward. Just over a minute after the goal, though, Craig Moore was held in up against the boards in the Vexwar end, and the referee whistled for a penalty, and I thought, oh, we're going on a power play for holding, and all of a sudden it was 2+2 for elbows. I believe 2+2 being the only option the ref's got in the CHL. There's a few double minor, you can't have 2 minutes for. From where I was, Sean, it looked totally innocuous. You were a bit closer. Did you see anything that I missed?
Well, I think Craig Moore had the same reaction as myself, because Craig Moore got the puck and went to go storming in on net, and the whistle blew, and he seemed to think that we were going to be going on the advantage, and that's exactly what I thought. I thought he was going to get, I thought the Vexwar player was going to get called for holding. So, yeah, I was baffled by that one. Didn't get that one at all.
Totally baffled. And after getting a power play goal, you just
had momentum. Yeah,
four minutes on the kill against a team like this. You would expect any team to struggle. Any team to struggle on a 4 minute kill, but with a difference, I really thought, this is where he gets tied up, and just 4 minutes of some of the best kill hockey I've probably seen from a Devils team. And the whole time I've been watching hockey, it was unreal. I think the chances were kept to a minimum. When he was called on, bounds was really good, but it was just such an effective kill. Mm. And when the 4 minutes expired and we got the puck out of the zone, it almost felt like a goal in the arena that the crowd lift. And I think it was from there that the atmosphere came right up, and it stayed up then for the rest of the game.
Yeah, you're right. It definitely got the crowd going. And And then I mentioned that we mentioned that obviously, you know, just after scoring a minute after scoring the goal, we get that penalty, and you know, you think your momentum is killed. But then you kill that penalty, that double minor, and momentum is so far swinging in your favour then that the crowd get on top of it, and then the players just sort of get that little extra energy and so, you know, we went into the first period break with a lead against the Swedish regular season champs, and so that was unbelievable.
And the kill reminds me of the Liberec game where, when we were two goals up, we had a 4 minute power play and Liberec killed it. It was over a period break, and literally as soon as they killed it, they just came back up and sort of just came straight at us, and sort of was a momentum shift. Obviously, we didn't need a shift in momentum, but it had a similar effect. And things got, you know, just over 4 minutes in, that line again with Morissette, Bentivoglio and Myers combined to double the lead, Sean. And, you know, Sean Bentivoglio is having an absolutely great season so far and, you know, got his first CHL goal.
Yeah, and it was a good finish as well. I just want to say that the work from Matthew Myers on that goal is absolutely unbelievable. You watch the replay from behind. I think from the corner, Myers comes in from the half wall to drag a defenseman out of the way, and the puck just gets thrown on net by, I think it's Drew Paris. Myers takes a bit of punishment in front of the net and just sweeps the puck out to Bentivoglio, and the netminder is just not expecting it through the traffic that Matthew Myers is creating. He's not expecting Myers to get that puck, you know, for anyone to get that puck to Bentivoglio. And it's a great finish from a tough angle to score from. But so much credit has to go to Matthew Myers on that goal.
Yes, yeah, more than. I said more because I was thinking ahead of the goal. Myers worked, you know, really well. And the next 10 minutes was relentless pressure in terms of possession, probably in terms of territory as well. But possibly not in high-end scoring. There were a few hairy moments. There was one where there was a puck sort of just hovering around the crease midair that got swatted away by a defenseman.
Mark Richardson.
I think I couldn't tell from where I was in the ring, but I probably could have said that in safer than knowledge. It probably was Mark Richardson. Cleaning up, doing something like that is you know, what he does. But we sort of weathered the storm with a few breakaways before a breakaway chance fell to Craig Moore. And I really struggle to remember a goal that has been cheered as loudly. Some good work coming out of defence. Josh Batch put Moore through. We went streaking over the blue line with a puck. I remember looking up and seeing Paul Crowder inside him thinking, oh, is he going to square it? Craig Moore I don't even think he knew that there was anyone there. There was only one thing on his mind as he crossed that line, and absolutely top shelfed it to get his first goal as a Devil. And if you're going to get a first goal for a team, you might as well do it in a game like this. And it was just an unbelievable response from the crowd as well, Sean, knowing, you know, the work he's put in and, you know, he's been waiting a little while for that goal.
Yeah, without doubt. Like, you've got to credit Josh Batch as well, though. The feed is absolutely unreal. It's a good hard pass out across the two lines. As you said, splits the entire, you know, Vecchia defensive core. And I think it was a 2-on-1 actually. And he did have Crowder to his right. But you look at the replay, he looks up a little bit and thinks, there is absolutely no way that I am passing this puck. And plays a perfect shot as well. You know, he plays it far side, gives himself the chance to score the goal or for Crowder to grab a rebound. But netminder barely even moves. It's an absolute bullet from Craig Moore. And as you said, the cheer from the crowd was unbelievable because they saw, you know, we've seen the work that Craig Moore has put in the last couple of weeks and how much he's improved our roster and just how much he wants to be here and his work ethic, his, you know, his forecheck, all that sort of thing. All the things he brings to our roster when he's on the ice, and he's just going to keep improving and improving game in, game out. And as you said, your first goal as the Devil against the Swedish national, you know, regular season champs in a CHL game with an absolute bullet. Not just, you know, not just a backdoor tap in, but a goal completely made by yourself. And, the crowd just went absolutely crazy, as did Craig Moore. He looked absolutely pumped as hell.
And Paul Crowder as well came absolutely flying around as well. You know, didn't know what he meant to him. But you mentioned sort of how much he's improved the roster. You think, you know, the quality of the pass from Josh Batch, and you've got a player of Paul Crowder's pedigree, you know, coming up the inside, you're offering the support, you know, or the pass, which obviously puts a bit of doubt in the goalie's mind. And you think that's the fourth line that we're running this year. That's, you know, it's such a huge upgrade, and, you know, so just demonstrated perfectly on the ice. And the fact that they played regular shift throughout the game, keeping everyone fresh, and, you know, hardly putting a foot, well, probably not putting a foot wrong all the way through. And 3-0 at the end of the second period, everyone was just walking around the rink in a little bit of a day, sort of looking at each other, thinking, is it happening? I don't really want to say anything more than that.
Yeah.
Don't be wanting to jinx it, just saying, there weren't words. Nobody seemed to know what was going on. Everyone was loving it, but there was just this, still this little bit of doubt in everyone's mind, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, 20 minutes is a long time in hockey. It's, you know, they get a goal in the opening minute, and they're still, you know, there's only two goals down, and teams recover from two goal deficits in the second period and the third period all the time, sometimes going into the last 2 minutes to do it. So a team of that caliber, you at 3-0, you still sort of have to, you know, hold yourself off your expectation too much.
Yeah. So what we definitely didn't need at the start of the third period, like just 4 minutes in, is a bit of a dull penalty from Joey Dad for holding. Yeah, but not a soft one in terms of the call from the ref, but of a soft one to give away. And took Vexrod just 12 seconds to convert that power play opportunity into a goal. And that I was thinking the exact things as you just said, Sean, that only two goals, there's still, you know, 15, over 50 yeah, minutes left. It's more than doable. We're going to struggle. But yeah. Joey Haddad, who maybe took a bit of a silly penalty, took just 57 seconds to redeem himself by scoring an absolutely cracking goal to restore the 3-goal lead. And if you're going to do something stupid, that's the best way to bounce back from it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's got down on the game sheet, the score by Haddad, assisted by Martin and Bounds, but I'm 90% that it was Patrick Aslin on the second assist. Who threw the puck along the boards to Joey Martin, who just one-handedly pokes it out in front. Joey Haddad stood on the top of the crease and just rips one home, and as you said, sort of makes up for taking that penalty.
More than made up for it. It was you know, just excellent to get that lead back, and you start to think is this is it a possibility? It was hell of a stressful, well, next 12 minutes is, you know, Lakers, I think their heads had dropped a little bit. I think they struggled to deal with the trap that we had, but you know, they didn't write that game off. They didn't think, oh, we'll just give it up now. They kept coming at us, and the Devils kept responding as well as we could to hold them out and did it excellently, Sean. One of the sort of, you know, top rear guard actions that you're going to see from a team.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think we let up either. You know, we still were trying to go to the net and score goals. We were very, you know, we were very responsible defensively. But by no means did we sit back. And, you know, in previous games, when we've gone to Sheffield even, we've had a 1-goal, 2-goal lead, and the amount we sat back and paid the price for it is unbelievable. And we didn't have that attitude towards the game, because we knew that a team like that could punish us if we gave them time and space on the puck. And yeah, we kept taking it to them. We kept working hard and winning battles we didn't let the fact we had that lead, you know, take over us. We still knew we had to battle for every puck, and we just kept plugging away, and slowly, you know, very, very slowly the seconds ticked by, and then they, you know, Vecchio pulled their goalie, and I think it was like 2:50, you know, like over 2.5 minutes left to try and give himself a chance to get back in the game, and then they did have a fair bit of pressure, I believe, as well.
Yes, yeah, indeed. But got the goalie pulled, and Mark Richardson's found his scoring touch. Length of the ice put the pack in. Just to properly round off a great, great game. I'm not convinced that shot was going in until the defenseman leapt up and it bounced off his hand and sort of redirected it towards the net. But yeah, 5-1, the game was over, and just it was nice to have that four goal cushion instead of three, because I wasn't happy with three, and be able to enjoy the last 3 minutes thinking, yeah, I'm pretty sure that we're not gonna lose this now. And an absolute sort of, we talked about how the Davos game was massive for the club, was a massive result in the club's history. I think, you know, this eclipses it in terms of results. To do it as dominantly as that, to do it in regulation, and to do it by scoring five goals is unreal. It's great having CHL games. Gonna miss them when they're gone because of the stats. Shots on goal, which were published, 46-21, Lakers. And the shot attempts, 77 from the Lakers and 36 from the Devils, 77 shot attempts. Yeah, that's 33 shots that were either blocked or went wide. But when you look at the shooting map, Sean, it's Devils defense was very effective in that there's a number of shots taken from not great shooting territory.
Yeah, they were from low percentage scoring areas. Yeah, you look at the amount of blocked shots that we had, and it was just unbelievable. Like, I don't think they had that many great chances, in the high scoring areas, you know, high up in the slot or within the house as it's called, and we kept Vekwa to those areas, like you said, and when they did get in close, Ben bounces at his best, and it just makes for really, really interesting reading. Just to look at, I'm just looking at this shot map now, and it's just like unreal when you look at the amount of it's absolutely crazy, absolutely crazy. There's obviously double the amount of shots there on the shot map, and it's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
No words for it. Absolutely no words for it.
You've described the shots as unbelievable. I think you can, we could just turn that into the whole game potentially. Was a properly unbelievable thing. The only downside, and I'm going to put a downside on it, is we totally lost the element of surprise for next week when we go out to Vexwell. Yeah, we're not going to sneak up on them and, catch him unawares, that's for sure. What an amazing week. 10 goals scored, only one conceded, and five of those 10 against. Might have mentioned it a couple of times, but the Swedish league champions from last season. Unreal, but we've got to move on.
Are we ready?
I feel like that for the next 20 years, we're probably going to talk about this game more than enough. So, I think we can probably move on and pick a player of the week now. And as there's only two of us, we've struggled to get unanimous this season so far. We haven't even got a casting vote if we disagree. So where are you going, Sean? Who gets your vote?
The man at the back, Ben Bounce. Shuts out Brayhead, 23 shots, admittedly, like you said earlier on. He can only save what's put in front of him, and then he saves 45 shots against Vekwa. Obviously, we've just mentioned some of them in low percentage scoring areas, but one of the best teams in European hockey. So, yeah, Ben Bounce all day, every day for me.
There's only two of us, but we've managed to find an agreement at last. Not really a lot else to add other than that. As you said, you have 23 shot shutouts on the back of another shutout, which shouldn't count for this week, but it's still impressive. And 45 out of 46 shots saved against Vekwa Lakers. It sometimes feels like you give it to the goalie when your team hasn't performed that well, but we've had two excellent performances, but your Ben Bams has still stuck his hand up and properly put himself up there as saying, yeah, I'm still just as important as everyone else, and he more than was. So, congratulations to Ben Bams, who's the Red Army Roundup Player of the Week.
Woo!
Woo indeed. We've had a Red Army Roundup player of the week at last.
I was going to say, we finally have a winner.
It's been a few weeks. And it's Ben Mount. So let's have, well, we'll throw it to Sean again because it's time for Ramite. I think people struggle to think of anything bad. So we only had the one suggestion this week from Jason Mann.
As ever, Jason Manley comes up with the goods. His good was his mate winning the 50-50. Very good was shutting out the clan. Awesome was we beat Vekwa. And his bad was I spilt my beer cheering about all three of the previous. So thank you for that, Jason.
It is a bad, but I was just going to say, if you're going to spill your beer, you might as well spill it and at the clan, beating Vekwa and having your mate win enough money to buy you another pint, hopefully.
Yeah. Every cloud and all that.
Exactly.
Jason Manley also sent us a burning question, which, as you can tell, is giving us the giggles. And he says, if Milton Keynes is Denny Kearney and the clan's Bert were on the same line, would Bert and Kearney be the best named pair ever? And in answer to you, I think Paul has the simple answer to your question, Jason.
I think it's yes.
Yes.
However, if any of our listeners can think of a better named pair of players that you could put together in the Elite League, please let us know, because that gave me quite a chuckle when it came through a couple of days ago. More than happy to receive burning questions that will cheer me up when I'm stuck in work. So, get your thinking caps on. Because I did try and have a little think, but couldn't think of anything at all. I was going to say remotely as good, but I couldn't even think of something full stop. So thank you to Jason and everyone else. Get your thoughts in. Ramite's burning questions. If you've got a funny joke, you could just phrase it as a question in the way that Jason's done, and we'll share that as well. We're going to look forward to the weekend now. The week. We've only got one game again this weekend, another home game, and welcome Belfast to the Ice Arena Wales for the first time this season. Paul Crowder is going to be out again for the Devils, serving the last of his domestic three-game ban. And you've got to think that Matt Pope is probably still a doubt, given that he wasn't icing during the week. Belfast have got injury worries of their own. Not sure who's out through injury, but also been announced that Jonathan Furland is going to be missing due to a two-game suspension for checking to the head. Belfast also lost on Sunday night in Manchester, Sean. So, they're a team. They seem to be struggling at the start of the season.
Yeah. They obviously, I think the Furland thing is a massive loss. I think he's been one of their better new signings. I'm not entirely sure injuries wise what they're struggling with. I know that Stephen Murphy is out injured, so Jackson Whistle will probably end up playing the game. But I've got to be honest, I'm really, really looking forward to it. Belfast games are always exciting, and now that they're being led by Adam Keefe, who was always, apart from the last, 2 years of his career where he was playing limited minutes and was more involved in the coaching role, I think being led by a player with that sort of ethos and that mentality towards the game and the club and the city and all that is going to be exciting. And I think their fans so far this year have been pleased with their sort of with their squad and the way they've gone about their business, and it's going to be a real physical encounter. I think they seem to have upgraded in areas. They seem to have lost they've given their team a bit more speed. They've cut loose some of the areas which maybe cost them last year, and overall it's a game which I'm really, really excited for, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it's ever since that we've stopped being beaten by them on a regular basis, we did back in the dark days. Belfast games have always been something to look forward to. Win or lose, like you said, they're nearly always pretty close encounters, and usually got a bit of a physical edge to them as well. And sort of expecting all of that with a team coached by Adam Keefe, you'd be very surprised if they were set up in any other way than to. You'll give 100%, throughout the game, and you're hopefully a great game with what's looking like likely to be a sellout crowd in Ice Arena Wales as well. So hopefully a rocking atmosphere to go with it. So
first one this year.
Yes, yeah, it would be. I think the Brayhead game was pretty close in the end, but yeah, be good to get that done. And then we obviously, as you said, don't play Sunday because Devils and ourselves fly up to Sweden, play the final CHL game of the season for us against Växjö again. We've obviously spoken about them a little bit because there was a game against them just a couple of days ago.
But what was there, Paul? Was there a game against them a few days ago? What was the score? What happened?
I've got a feeling the Devils won. I've just found it on my notepad and we won 5-1.
Really? So,
yeah, we beat them. And I don't know if we have mentioned this, but they are the current Swedish League champions. That's not a bad result there. Going to be a different proposition, you'd imagine, on Wednesday.
Oh, yes. Completely different kettle of fish. I think they still want to top the group, I think. Can they still top the group?
Yeah, they're currently a point ahead of Liberec, who obviously played Davos in their last game.
They need a win, so they're gonna be a bit more stacked. I think they're gonna bring their bigger guns. Obviously, they didn't travel with a few of them to Cardiff. They left starting goaltender Victor Fast at home. Their captain, I think, was left at home as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So they left a couple of guys back in Sweden when they came to us, and obviously they're gonna have all of them for selection in this game, and it's gonna be a completely different game. You know, it's their home building. They're gonna have their full team at the disposal. They do need to win, and
some quite harsh words in the Swedish media that sort of been shared on various forms of social media since the game. It's not a result that's gone totally unnoticed in Sweden or written off. So there's been a bit of a drubbing. Oh. You can only imagine that their fans are feeling the same. And Växjö have done an offer for free tickets on Wednesday. So I'm imagining that they're going to have quite a big crowd. And it's the type of game where you get new fans in. So they're going to want to put on a performance as well to try and entice them back. Just to add another little layer of things that they're going to want to come and get us for. I think
that the other thing is that, even though I just mentioned they left a couple of big guns at home and all this sort of thing, they're still an SHL team, and their lowest paid guy probably earns more than our team put together in a week. And it's their second string should really be beating any team in this league. There's no doubt about it, because the parity in the leagues, although it's maybe getting a little bit closer, the gap is still massive. And they should have beaten us every single day of the week in our home building. There's no doubt about it. But they just were outclassed, plain and simple.
Definitely. And we say second string. It was only a handful of players that were missed. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The majority of those players would have started regardless. So it's And I know that big names make a difference. You take four or five top guys out of any team, it makes a difference. But that is still a very high quality team. Taking anything away from the win. I just think on top of the players, I think the mindset will be a little bit different. There might be an element of wanting revenge as well, which is always a brilliant motivating factor for a team, coming off the back of a heavy loss. But it's our sixth game in the CHL. We've won two of them, two home games. We've led in two of the other three. It's been an unreal experience watching some of the top teams in Europe in this country. For a load of our fans, Sean and I, and well over 100 fans who got to do the same in Davos and Liberec, and I think there's a similar number heading over to Sweden, if not more, next week. It's been an unreal experience for the fans as well as the team, Sean.
Yeah, we'll start off with the team in the organisation. Todd Cameron wrote in his programme article this week that it's been a massive experience for him in terms of seeing how these teams operate and how much they put into their merchandise and all the things they do well that we can learn from as a league, as a club. And And for the players, they've got to play against some of the biggest, you know, I don't think for a minute that, some of these guys who were, you know, 2-3 years ago playing in the Elite League, Joey Meyer and Joey Haddad, ever thought they'd be playing, at the place where they watched Spengler Cup games being, you know, they never thought they'd play in a place like that. And it's just been a great experience for the players. Andrew Lord, I'm sure, has learned a lot through playing against teams of this caliber, and it's going to set us in good stead for the league challenge this year. And what can you say about the fans? We've just had an absolute ball. You know, we went out there and got on the receiving end of a drubbing in Davos. Got to see some of the, you know, some of these places which you would have almost no reason to go and visit. Davos particularly was an absolutely unreal place. And without the team getting to the CHL, you think, would you ever have gone there? Probably not. And it's given us an excuse to watch. You know, I never ever thought that I'd get to watch the Devils play in a European competition. It's always been one of those things that I've sat back and watched sort of friends go on, you know, European tours with you know, Wales football team and all that sort of thing. It's not really been my cup of tea, but it's always been something which I wanted to do with my passion. And it's been an absolute joy from start to finish, and we're going to enjoy ourselves on this last trip, and hopefully we can get back there next year.
Yes, that would definitely be icing on the cake too. Again, it's more than, yes, same as you. You know, I think European trips, you know, the best that we'd ever hope for is, you know, the Continental Cup, which for years even that seemed so far out of reach. And you know, with all the history that Devils had in Europe, I always thought, it's lower level, and the quality that we've watched has been unreal. But definitely got a taste for it. I could get used to it. So if the Devils could just win, that'd be great.
From both sides as well. We talk about the quality from both sides as well, home and away. You look at what we've put into it, and
It's not just
without a doubt,
the Devils have lifted their game as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think, like I said, that's going to put us in good stead for what's to come. Whether it, you know, some teams say that, you know, Europe hurts your domestic competition, but from the experience we've had, and, you know, I can only see it doing good things for us going forward.
Yes, fingers crossed. And to mention, I think we discussed a few weeks ago around, you know, if the league keeps SCHL place, you know, it's always been a question, but, you know, the performance of us has been good, but Nottingham topping their group, just want to give it a mention before we finish, is absolutely outstanding. And you know, you've got to think has secured a spot for the Elite League for at least a couple of years into, you know, at least one spot going forward. So, you know, massive congratulations to them, and, you know, all the best in the knockout stages. That's odd to say, a British team in the knockout stages of a competition that size. And we've ended on Nottingham. We should have done that sooner. I didn't write it on my notepad, and it just popped into my head. We've really got to get better at planning, Sean.
Paul, I just want to say, so we do end on the team that really does matter, that we beat Vekwa.
We did indeed. Sorry if we haven't mentioned that enough. Apologies. If you think that we haven't mentioned it enough, let us know. We can cover the game again next week or something. Speaking of next week, there is a good chance there won't be a podcast. Sean and I are out of the country until the wee early hours of Friday morning, so it's unlikely we'll get a chance to record. So you're probably looking forward to a bumper edition the week after.
Again, woo!
Looking forward being a weird word. But Aaron will be back, which will mean the party will be back, according to Twitter anyway. So thank you for listening. And, you know, we miss Aaron. We know you miss Aaron. So thank you for making it this far through. But for now, that is your Red Army Rounder. Every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.